This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the program, we'll be talking about Vioxx and the business of drug testing. But first, Harvard University said Wednesday that it will seek permission from its ethics board to conduct stem cell research using cloned human embryos. Its aim is to develop cures for diseases like diabetes and Parkinson's and other illnesses. This research is the kind that doesn't qualify for federal funding under President Bush's 2001 ruling restricting support to research on existing stem cell lines. The Harvard initiative will use private funds. And now some states are eager for a piece of the action. Voters in California will get a chance to decide if that state should spend $3 billion to fund stem cell research there, including embryonic stem cell research. California hopes to attract researchers from other places where such research is prohibited. Nancy Reagan and most recently Christopher Reeve in Death as in Life have brought stem cell research to the light of public debate, and it has become an issue in this year's presidential campaign. Bush and Kerry are really on opposing sides. They have opposing views on the issue. So regardless of the outcome of this election, Americans will choose a president with a clear party line on embryonic stem cell research. And of course, all of this speaks to the need for ethical research guidelines for stem cell studies. Experts met this week at the National Academies to discuss guidelines for human embryonic stem cell research. So we're going to start the hour with a stem cell update, if you will. And if you'd like to join our discussion, give us a call. Our number 1-800-989-8255, or if you'd rather, 1-800-989-TALK. Lori Zoloth is a professor of medical ethics and humanities and the director of bioethics in the Center for Genetic Medicine at the Feinberg School of Medicine and a professor of religion at Northwestern University in Chicago. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Zoloth.
Welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. It is pretty clear the choice between the two candidates, is it not?
Yes. On this issue, it is quite clear.
But there are Republicans who are for stem cell research, and noted Republicans.
Noted Republicans, led, of course, by Nancy Reagan, Orrin Hatch, and Arlen Specter, and others have actually opposed the current administration's plan for stem cell research, even though it's with a Republican administration, which is interesting. The politics of stem cell research are nearly as interesting as the science of stem cell research.
And let's talk about the general arguments against broader federal funding for a human embryonic stem cell research. Does that involve people arguing that life, because life begins when you have an embryo, the embryo that has moral status?
Well, it's really an interesting thing. It's not when life begins that's at stake. Mm-hmm. It's when there's moral equivalency between an embryo and a born person. That's really what's at stake here. And for some religious groups who feel this quite passionately, and it's part of Catholic moral theology or some versions of Protestant moral theology, human life both begins at conception and is morally equivalent at conception to the life of you or me or a person who's sick. And that's a point of real difference for many religions, Judaism, many Protestants, Islam, many versions of Buddhism and Hinduism. The embryo in its very early stages, while very important, doesn't have moral equivalency to the life of a born child.
Mm. So they look upon it differently then.
There's a real difference about that fundamental issue, and that's only the beginning of the ethical conundrums that stem cell research presents, of course.
Mm-hmm. If you could create an embryo, and I know researchers are working on this, an embryo that does not start out with the union of an egg and sperm, but can be just starting out with an egg that is poked and prodded into starting to divide and creating stem cells. With the fact that it is not so-called fertilized, would that change the debate a bit?
Well, the Vatican has not drawn a distinction between an egg created by nuclear transfer and an egg created by the union of gametes, normal human gametes. They haven't drawn a distinction between between embryos created inside the body of women versus in the lab and in the test tube. Other religions do draw such distinctions, and in fact, that the difference, those fundamental difference about location, are some of the differences that matter to religious scholars of other faiths. But in fact, poking and prodding eggs turns out to be sort of a tricky business. It's only been done once in the South Korean labs, and it is still quite the mystery, which is one of the reasons people want to explore this as a scientific problem. Still, it's largely theoretical. For most people who think about it, the point is, once it looks like an embryo, it feels to them like an embryo, and therefore, if they think it's morally equivalent to a child, then they feel that it's a tragic choice to kill it. Mm-hmm. And that's a pretty stark difference around your moral commitments.
And so it's really hard to if you're making a case for using embryos, it's really hard to then persuade anybody who's of that conviction.
You know, I think that's the whole point. We're not going to agree about this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that people of fundamental faith differences sincerely disagree about, you know, what day the Sabbath should be experienced on, you know, just to start, whether, you know, certain figures are divine or merely good rabbis. I mean, mm-hmm. those are, think of the fundamental differences. We're not going to agree about when human life begins. We have a hard enough time agreeing on when human life ends. That's a fairly formidable discussion still in the literature, still not completely agreed upon. But we can come to some overlapping consensus about things we do agree upon. Especially, we can agree that if we don't agree on these sorts of tough issues, how do we then proceed with science, right. with research, especially if a ban on a sort of research, a type of research, comes from a particular religious conviction that is not shared? Mm-hmm. What do the rest of us do who don't share that conviction but care deeply about the gravity of the concern? Mm-hmm. And that's the question that really is raised by the policy issues around human embryonic stem cells.
In fact, in your testimony before the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation, you point out that there are historical precedents, other times when advances in medical technology butted up against these personal convictions.
Nearly every time there's been an advance in medical technology, there has been sort of a tremble at the threshold whether we should enter or not into the room of possibilities. And there has been always the sense that perhaps entering the room of the new challenges the security and the safety that we find in the old. And many times religion has been standing right at that door saying, not so fast. And we wouldn't want that to stop. There is some research that you'd want to say slow, mm-hmm. or even no to, or no while we think about it. Surely recombinant DNA technology, there was that sense, and people thought about it. Scientists presented their data. There was a moratorium that was self-imposed until the safety issues that could be resolved were resolved, and then the research went forward. But even before that, anesthesiology, whether lightning rods would be permitted or not, whether bodies could be used for autopsies, all of things excited religious opposition and religious attention. And stem cells is no different from any one of these advances.
Mm-hmm. You recently presented to a committee convened by the National Academies of Science to develop guidelines for scientists working in this field. And you did not formulate any final recommendations at this point, correct? Can you tell us what you've been talking about this week?
A lot of people presented from a lot of different perspectives. People who supported vigorous human embryonic stem cell research, as well as, of course, committed or, quote, adult stem cell research. People who supported lots of different kinds of regulations and ethical positions about how we should regulate it, if we should regulate it, under what circumstances it should be regulated. People raised concerns about how eggs were donated or sold, used in this country. Mm-hmm. And the National Academy was interested in casting the widest possible net on both scientific, legal, and ethical opinions about the best way to proceed while it sets forward its own ideas and its own science guidelines. Obviously, their early reports suggested that this was an important therapeutic advance and one that should be vigorously pursued by federal funding. My concern was that to try to regulate this research, what's the best way to do it? What's the most important concern? For me, as a bioethicist, I am very concerned that the research be done, especially at this early stage, with an attitude of curiosity and freedom. In a situation where there is good moral arguments on both sides, a measure of freedom should prevail within a context of regulatory oversight. And then the question is, how do you oversee this sort of research? If it's federally funded or publicly funded, as California is suggesting or New Jersey is suggesting, then the possibilities for open public review are quite robust. If the research can only be funded in the private sector, then, of course, we don't know what sort of review can be put forward. I've been part of private review councils and committees, and with good-hearted scientists who really do want their research carefully reviewed, and small companies that are want to be able to say, yes, we've had ethical review, but you can't guarantee that everybody voluntarily assumes a review board as part of its basic scientific research. And that's the reason why federal funding and federal oversight is such a hotly debated issue.
And, of course, if there is no overreaching guidelines, then everybody's free, as you say, to come up with their own standards.
Exactly.
And it's always been pointed out that the advantage of having guidelines for any kind of research is then you do have this central way of looking and comparing and judging.
Right. And we can learn about that from the small state or small group experiences.
Right.
But ultimately, this sort of science should be normalized so it's like any other sort of scientific inquiry with basic decent norms, with protections for research subjects. And I think the scientific community, the International Society for Stem Cell Research, for instance, is moves ahead in that direction. Now, internationally, this work goes on quite vigorously
right.
in other countries. And in every country that supports and performs human embryonic stem cell research, as well as other sorts of research with other sorts of stem cells, there are oversight committees, usually, typically at the national level, who first draw up joint proposals for how the research is regulated, usually both in the public and the private sectors, and then set up an ongoing review panel for the research, both to distribute the grant money and to adjudicate the grant money and to then to follow up how the grants are going.
What is the UN? So there's something on the agenda of the UN internationally, Nick.
Exactly. A very important vote coming before the United Nations for their law committee. It came up last year, and the proposal they're debating is whether nuclear transfer, which people have mostly heard about as research cloning for research purposes, like the Harvard
right.
researchers are proposing, not to create a child, never to create a child. That part will be banned, but whether all of it should be banned. And the UN is going to consider this, and they have to decide whether all cloning for any sort of research or any sort of reproduction will be banned entirely, or whether just the kind of cloning that results in the production of a baby will be banned, and whether they'll allow for the researchers who want to make human embryonic stem cells and promise never to pursue that beyond 14 days of development, whether that sort of research would ever be permitted. Now, of course, the United States' official position is to ban every sort of use of nuclear transfer technology, whatever the consequence of the use. Whatever basic research or applied research could come out of that, including whatever therapeutic applications could come out of that sort of research. The position of other states has been that research, for instance, as is the policy in many states, that nuclear transfer, i.e. cloning, for basic research should be widely allowed and, in fact, encouraged because it could yield promising results at this very early stage.
Mm-hmm. But, we'll have to watch,
but banning it for any sort of reproductive use.
Dr. Zoloff, thank you very much for taking time to talk with us. This is something we'll be keeping an eye on, and maybe we'll have you back on to comment on again.
Great. It's an exciting time for this, for both the chance for lots of people to think seriously about this research in the federal campaign for president, in the local campaigns in California, and, of course, to watch closely the UN debate. So three big public decisions.
We've got to go. Thank you.
Thanks,
Laurie Zoloff, who is director of Bioethics Center for Genetic Medicine at the Feiberg School of Medicine, professor of religion, Northwestern University. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.